through fund drives, volunteering their time to support the Red Cross and make supplies, cutting bandages. I mean, a lot of different things. But it's not just about the rah-rah, we won the war, we fought the good fight. It's telling the stories about the darker side of the war as well, where you had citizens, primarily African-Americans, who weren't treated the same but still went to fight for a country where they weren't equal, and wondering if when they came home it would be any different than when they left, hoping that maybe their service would help the treatment become better.
Did that turn out to be the case?
No, sadly, no. It would, if you want to say the treatment got any better, then yes, it did, but it would take many more years before they would get their civil rights.
Who is that? Who gives that picture?
So that would be two brothers, Edward and Lincoln Bynum, who fought side by side in the front line trenches in France in the 370th United States Infantry, which was one of the all-black units that fought in France.
And how do we know how they felt about things afterwards?
We have some of their own writings during the war and after the war. We know that while there was a big victory parade and celebration when they came back in Chicago and both locally, we know through historical records and oral histories that it took a long time for things to improve for African Americans in this country.
You mentioned cutting bandages. That's an example of how retail and cottage industry, certain kinds of things were in that era, even though it's only a century ago and post-industrial revolution. Would you enlarge on that particular aspect of how preparations had to be dealt with in, with a huge investment of people hours?
There was one big overarching organization that came out of the war, and it was called the Council for National Defense, which was founded in 1916, before we even entered the war, kind of as prepping. I know I'm misquoting President Wilson, but he's basically, you know, preparing for a war, you know, is the best thing to do, even though you're not fighting it right now. And so this particular group at the national level, which was made of, you know, like the Secretary of War and bigwigs like that, helped found state-level organizations. And then the state-level organizations founded county ones and town ones. And so they all worked together to organize supply drives, fund drives, things like cutting bandages through the Red Cross and the YWCA, all these little activities that were needed to support, you know, not just sending our troops over eventually, but also support our allied nations with the supplies and the money they so desperately needed. And so you have to have a big thing like that to kind of organize all the little groups as well. And this was, you know, voluntary, highly encouraged voluntary services that people were giving towards the war effort.
What did the people in this year's cemetery walk come back from the war to do? What did they become?
There's a variety of things our cemetery walk characters this year came back to do. Roland Reed, this poor guy had a lot of bad luck. He tried to volunteer for the military on several occasions, but was rejected every time because of his poor eyesight. Signed up for the draft like everybody was supposed to, all the men were supposed to, again rejected because of the eyesight. He went on to serve for the French, but then when he came home, he ended up working for his father, Gebert Reed's portable elevator company, and when his father died, took it over.
A portable elevator?
Yes, the like the grain augers you see in the farm fields. His father ran the portable elevator company that would manufacture those pieces locally. And he took over after his father died, and the company wasn't quite so successful anymore when Roland was running it, and started basically a slow progression downhill until Roland passed away and someone else took over the company and helped revitalize it. Carolyn Church Geneva continued her career as a nurse, working at Brokaw and St. Joe's Hospital. And she did that off and on during the Second World War as well. The Bynum brothers had a lot of different jobs throughout their lives. Edward primarily served as a porter and a laborer. And Lincoln, he worked at Clay Dooley Tire as a janitor later in life. He also was a police driver for a time during his earlier life. Both the men were on a basketball team, the Bloomington Buffaloes. Edward managed it, and Lincoln was a player along with another brother, Eugene. So they did a variety of activities throughout their lives.
Even the specialists, or perhaps especially the specialists in history, learned something new and exciting from every cemetery walk. What did you learn this year?
I learned so many things. I mean, I've studied World War I on the big picture when I was in undergrad and graduate school, but really kind of getting to know the nuts and bolts behind the effort on the home front, some of the not so nice and just downright dirty things that happened during the war in this area and can be mirrored throughout the country.